Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
To 2 a.m. This is the last hour I have this early Wednesday morning to take your calls and keep talking sports and just rolling through things and trying to look for things. I said I did want to speak on the Yankees and what I saw today watching the Yankees on Yes Network. And John and Susan had the call on The Fan. I didn't listen to the call until the very end because I was watching the game, so listen to the Yes Network call. And then at the end of the game, I caught John and Susan, and then they went into Carton and Roberts. The Yankees today face the Detroit, or yesterday, Tuesday, the 21st, face the Detroit Tigers. And at first, watching that game, Luis Severino looked a little shaky. I think I made a joke online, like maybe the Yankees should have let Luis Severino go compete in the World Baseball Classic. But then he locked in. The Yankees are going to be depending on Sevy. With Carlos Rodon down, you need Sevy to be an ace, and he's in a prove-it year. But the guy that came out and proved it today, and I can't be mad at it, I can't hate on it because I root for the laundry, Josh Donaldson. He looked like he figured something out. Supposedly he changed his swing, his stance, his leg kick, whatever, all those things in concert to get his timing down. He hit two balls out in left field that were no doubters. And the biggest thing for me was that he didn't pimp them. He didn't admire them. He didn't have to showboat. Hey, I'll take what I could get from the guy. If you've listened to me, I said I want Josh Donaldson to follow the lead of one Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge hit 62 homers. He doesn't admire not a one of them. Aaron Judge hits two homers in a game multiple times. He just discards of his bat and starts his home run trot exactly the same every time. The captain of the team is who you should be following. Josh Donaldson, a 37-year-old veteran, I think he's starting to get it. And I think he can have a better year. And I'm not so down on him. He is a guy that has done it at a high level in this league. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. It was good to see him go 2-for-3 today, 2 home runs, 4 RBI. And that's what you want to see 8 days before the opener. Also, Gleyber Torres had a knock, had an RBI. And for Gleyber Torres coming out of the World Baseball Classic, he seems ready to go. But eyes on Gleyber Torres and a potential trade, whether it happens in this next week or early on in the season, the Yankees have a little bit of a conundrum here. A good problem to have. IKF is not in the equation of this problem. The problem is you have two young men who have gotten a ton of reps with Gleyber Torres stepping out, as I kind of mentioned, you know, about Eduardo Escobar missing time and Brett Beatty getting an opportunity to show off. with Gleyber Torres not being there, you've been seeing Volpe and Peraza at shortstop, second, and vice versa. And I think a lot of us Yankees fans assume Peraza would be the opening day starter at shortstop because we did see him in the ALCS. We did see him at the end of the season last year. We heard about his glove. He is a year ahead of Volpe. But Anthony Volpe was told that he had an opportunity to win the job in camp, and he damn sure hasn't lost it. He had a ball that got past him today, but we'll never mind that. The kid works a walk, gets on base, steals a base. The kid had another double. And when you look at his numbers from the spring, he's hitting over 300. He could be a leadoff hitter for these Yankees. As much as people want to compare him to Derek Jeter, it's eerily similar to, hey, take a chance on the kid, put him in that shortstop on the opening day roster, and off we go. I'd like to see it. I'm a big Volpe guy, and I'm going to make sure here at WFAN I get all the hosts to say Volpe, 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 not Volpe. But they will have to Volpe him, and that's why I think they don't want to start the clock on this kid. I don't think they want to end up in a situation with the service time and, you know, in a situation where they have to pay him sooner rather than later. But I don't know. Maybe this time, smarten up. Extend them. Get out in front of it. Like you failed to do with Aaron Judge, who came up at age 25, 26, won MVP, and then got the bag when you should have honestly extended that young man and gave him the bag, which would have been a lot cheaper. Definitely wouldn't have cost you the extra $150 million. You should have locked him up a year after he won Rookie of the year he should have won MVP. Let's talk Yanks a little bit for this last 40 minutes. Let's talk Mets a little bit for this last 40 minutes. I'm working on something for this thing I'm doing next week. I don't want to spoil it until I actually like go to the studio, film it, record it, and it's out there. But I'm working on something for baseball, the top 10 lineups in Major League Baseball. And I'm interested to see what this Mets lineup looks like. If Brandon Nimmo can't go, What's this Mets lineup going to look like? I think I had a caller that called me the other night, and I think the Mets are going to have a top lineup in baseball no matter what. But without Nimmo at the top of that lineup, who's leading off and who's playing center? And I think we went through some of the options of like Tommy Pham and Tim LaCastro and DJ Stewart. Those are guys that are, we're not even sure if the last two guys are making the opening day roster. But Mets fans, call me up and weigh in if you'd like. Let's get back to the phones. Ari, out in Brooklyn. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
Hello.
Yeah, long-time listener. First-time caller. I want to talk about the Yankees.
Appreciate it. Let's do it.
Yeah. The Yankees have so many questions. But, like, if they actually work out, I think they're a full-fledged World Series team, no?
I think every year it's the same thing, right? I think this year they have more questions than years past, but I kind of like that.
Yeah, with Hicks and Donaldson.
Yeah, and I kind of like the fact that like they're not the clear-cut favorites. And with some of these injuries that we've, you know, suffered in the last couple weeks with newly acquired players, they're not looking like we expected on paper. So maybe we end up in a situation in this early part of the season where there isn't so much hype, there isn't so much pressure. Last season started off where the Yankees, out of the gate, I forget what their record was, but every week you heard them compared to the greatest Yankees teams of all time. Their trajectory was to go to the World Series and win it because they were being compared to all these other teams that their pace led them to a World Series. I'd rather the opposite this year because we're all seeing, especially now, that this 162 games, I'm sure that in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe even less, the season gets shrunk down to like 147 games or something like that. And it's not going to be so much hype for every single game. The emphasis is going to be on September and being ready for October. Yeah. And being your healthiest and ready to go for the tournament.
Yeah, Yeah, and also, what a Volpe. I really want him to make the team. I don't think he will.
Me
definitely
either.
Definitely earned it in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he another double today. Great defensively. I do think Peraz is going to make the opening day roster. I think Peraz is going to be the opening day shortstop. I do want Volpe. And Donaldson and Hicks, like, I want to give them time, like 2-3 weeks. But, like, if they don't do it, just out. We have enough, like, Torres needs a spot. IKF, I don't think he's going to make a spot. But DJ LeMay needs a spot. Like, Cabrera, we need room for them. If these guys aren't going to show up, then just get them out of here.
I'm right there with you, Ari. As many holes or questions as the Yankees have, there are guys. They do have a lot of talented guys. You just got to figure it out, right? You just got to figure out where to put these guys, where to plug these in. I'm glad you mentioned Oswaldo Cabrera. He's got to play. But I think his best fit for us is a super utility guy that when you're resting guys, you can plug him in. He shouldn't play one position. He's shown us he can play 6-7 positions.
He plays all seven. And the World Baseball Classic, like the past few callers have been saying, that, like, United States, we want United States to win. I really think that's the reason that not all the best players are in there. United States has to show, like, they're trying to show that we think the World Series and our baseball league is the best. They put in, like, Gerrit Cole, Nestor Cortez, Aaron Judge.
Yeah, we didn't deserve to win. I'm glad you said that.
They're going to have to win then, and then if they don't, they're in trouble.
You know, I just was looking at Francisco Lindor's Twitter. Francisco Lindor put a tweet out about how great the World Baseball Classic was. He said, wow, what a tournament. World Baseball Classic. When are we running it again? And there's a ton of quote tweets and replies, people saying never, don't worry about it. You got a season to get ready for, few days for you to lock in. You know, Americans, New Yorkers, Mets fans mostly. Again, talking down on this World Baseball Classic, and it's like... We didn't deserve to win. I wanted to see the United States win, but we didn't appreciate it enough. We talked down on it for the last week, saying it was meaningless, it was worthless, it was stupid, that no one cares.
I think everybody's saying we don't care because the best players aren't in. If all our best players would be in, we would have to win.
Right. Well, some of the best players are there. Like, there's multiple MVPs that were there, but it's the pitching. And the reason that we didn't send our best pitchers is because they're too valuable to our American teams. And our American arrogance tells us that our 162 games in our postseason is way more important than this world tournament. But that doesn't make sense. We're talking about the globe, not just the states. And I've been on record saying, do you think these players care more about representing Toronto over the country that they made it out of? Representing their grandmothers, representing their cousins. No, these guys, the energy that they played with, the pride that they played with, it's all about representing their homeland, their home country. I feel like these guys probably get disrespected in different cities. You know, there's cities where these guys walk the streets and they don't even get love and respect that they deserve being pro ball players. People don't recognize them. They just look at them as minorities and, you know, talk down to them or treat them a certain way until they realize, oh, you're a ball player? So I don't expect these guys to go so hard for the Kansas City Royals for 162 games versus a 3-week tournament where they represent the place they were born.
Yeah. I also think that, like, if Severino's healthy, Rodon's healthy, but if the Yankees... lineup, the pitching staff is healthy. They do have one of the best pitching staff in baseball.
Of course. Look at the payroll. Look at the resources Brian Cashman has. These are the New York Yankees. This is New York City. They're supposed to be juggernauts every year. This is baseball. There's no salary cap. You're the New York Yankees. You have a ton of money. You have a million fans pulling up to the stadium every year. Like, they're not supposed to struggle. They're supposed to win 90-plus games. They're supposed to have winning seasons 30 years in a row. Like, they're the 27-time World Series champions. They're going to be better than fine. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is us always touching the money, always getting ahead of ourselves. It doesn't ever work like that, right? I guess it worked in 2009 where they went out and bought players and won the World Series, but that's a long time ago. We're coming up on that being like 15 years ago. I was in college back then. I'm a grown man about to have a kid now. It's different.
I'm 15, so I've never seen them.
Oh, no. That just hurt me. I'm 15, so I've never even experienced the Yankees World Series. I feel bad for the young kids that I meet at the stadium, that I talk to online, that love the Yankees because they're New Yorkers or their dad loved the Yankees or their brother put them on, but they don't even have the memories and experience of a run to the postseason and winning it. The last one we won, I was a 21-year-old kid throwing parties for the ALDS, the ALCS, the World Series, and the euphoria when you actually win, man, it's amazing. And I've been chasing that ever since.
Yeah, so with Rodon's injury, I think, like, he'll probably be back soon. Like, he barely miss anything. But Montas, like, I do not want to see Schmidt start Clark Schmidt.
Well, Montas...
I do not want to see him.
Montas is done. Montas is done for the year, in my opinion. I think we never see him play for the Yankees again unless they want to get
Domingo Germán is decent, I think.
Domingo Germán is a veteran, and in 2019, before he made his mistake, we were expecting him to carry us through the postseason. He was looking like an ace. He won 19, 20 games that year. He can tap back into that. Clark Schmidt has looked decent in the spring. I have to give credit to Clark. His last outing was immaculate. I think his last outing, he was perfect or threw a no-hitter or something. So I'm excited for Clark to be a starter. I didn't like Clark coming out of the bullpen last year. That was dumb. They tried to turn Clark into Michael King. He's not Michael King. I'm excited for Michael King this year. As soon as Michael King went down last year, I was on the fan losing it. People were telling me, yo, you got to calm down. I'm like, no. As soon as Chapman couldn't get it done and they forced Michael King into the game where he didn't have a proper warm-up and he got hurt, that's when I thought our World Series chances were dashed, because I literally had thoughts and visions of him getting big outs in October, because you need a guy like that that can get you big outs in October. And without him, I knew the bullpen, I didn't know who it was going to be, right? Wandy ended up rising for us. But other than that, like, they had to rely on Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt was never that guy. He was being stretched out in AAA last year to be a starter. Then the Yankees try and get crafty when they run out of options. Oh, you know, didn't expect to not have Mike King. Let's turn Clark Schmidt into a poor man's Mike King. You can't do that.
Yeah, and with Clark Schmidt, I feel like every time he goes, he gets like 2-3 innings. First two are great, and then the third, he just gives up 4 runs.
Well, he better lock in, because we're going to need him. And it's time. He was a top pick, and Clark can do it. You know, we just got to have faith in him. I think Clark will be fine.
Yep.
And if it ends up where he can't really get out of, like, in the last couple years, bro, we've had to watch Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber couldn't get out of the fourth inning pitching for the Yankees in 2021 in April. He was trash. Now he's the opening day starter for the Red Sox. I mean, we had to watch Jay Happ and James Paxton and Andrew Heaney. Like, there's been a lot of bums. We had to watch Brooks Kreske. Like, I'm fine with Clark Schmidt. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Another huge question for the Yankees is Clay Holmes. Like, last year, first half, he was dominant.
All-star.
And in the second half, he was who knows where.
I think he can be the closer, and if he's not, we'll go closer by committee. And there's a handful of guys that I think can close, depending on matchups, depending on the lineup, the part of the lineup that we're going to face. I'm not too worried about Clay. Clay's got the type of stuff. When he's on, he's on. When he's off, he can't throw a strike. But I don't think that they're going into the season expecting him to do what he did last year, where he had, you know, 29 scoreless innings. He like broke Mariano's scoreless innings record. I don't think that they're going to rely on him as heavily. But I think he's going to shake it off from, you know, his struggles last year. He was a first-time All-Star last year, and I think he'll be solid for us this year for sure.
Yeah. Can I get a quick Nets point?
Go for it. You're a Nets fan as well?
Nets fan as well. And I also think I'm a Giants fan. I think you're also a secret Giants fan, so all the same.
I'm not a secret Giants fan. My brother was a Giants fan and tried to get me to be a Giants fan as a kid. I chose the Cowboys. I like what the Giants...
I know you say Cowboys, but I think you're a little Giants fan.
Nah, if anything, I'd be Jets locally. I've always kind of gone to more Jets games and lean Jets. You can't be Cowboys and Giants, but I respect the Giants, and I really respect the moves that they've made. The other night, I was trying to force some Giants commentary in because, like, if anyone's paying attention to what Brian Daboll or really Joe Shane and these guys are doing, like even now, they're bringing in cornerbacks that are under the radar, but they're going to be competitive. They're going to be good additions to raise the level of the cornerbacks that you have already in the room. What was your point on the Giants and their offseason?
No, on the Nets, on the Nets.
Or on the Nets.
So, I mean, like, they have such insane defensive players, and, like, the worst problem right now is defense. Like, one day their defense is terrible, the next day they just can't shoot the three, and then there's Ben Simmons. Like, even when people are screaming, Ben Simmons, where are you? Where? Like,
he's done.
He needs to attack the basket, but even when he doesn't, he is a good point.
When's the last time you saw Ben Simmons on the floor?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's done. Nets fans saw a little picture from practice where he was in shorts and sneakers. But in my opinion, he's done. They need him right now.
Yeah, no, but like even when people say he has to attack the basket, if not, he's worthless.
He sucks.
It's not true.
He is a max contract player right now, and he should be making league minimum. He is more concerned with his fits than what he's doing on the floor. He has no problem sitting out all of these games. And let's say he's actually hurt, right? Yeah. Let's say he really has this back problem, knee soreness, compounded, all of this stuff. He's making $35 million. The Nets are dumb AF. They're the only team that was willing to take him on. So yeah. I'm looking at the Nets like, you make your bet, you're going to lie in it. They do have a bunch of defensive guys like Dorian Finney-Smith, supposed to be a defender. Mikal Bridges. Defender. Yeah. Cam Johnson, defender. Nick Claxton was getting defensive player of the year talk early in the season when we had KD Kyrie. But these guys don't look like they all necessarily work well together. There's some days where they do, some days where they don't. They're disconnected. This game tonight, I knew they were going to be cooked after that first quarter.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the way Dinwiddie plays. He attacks the baskets, raised the ball around.
You kind of defaulted into Dinwiddie being your point guard. That was not supposed to be the plan. You kind of defaulted into that, and I'm glad Spence is back, but at the same time, watching Spence is frustrating. Sometimes he wants to play hero ball. 90% of the time he wants to complain and fight with the refs. And the team goes as he goes.
Please. Yeah. Royce O'Neal.
Royce O'Neal, another defender coming off the bench. He's all right. But like, yeah, like tonight, these guys were 9 of 33 shooting the three. It was pitiful. Can't happen. Yeah. All right, thanks for the call, bro. Get some rest. Thank you. Appreciate you. Just trying to move along now. We've got some calls now. We've got a full rack of calls now. Let's go to Rob in Southampton on the Fan.
What's up, Q? You sound good as always.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, bro.
I just wanted to make a point, something I'm a little worried about with this Bozo IKF playing outfield now. When Bader comes back, if IKF is going to be this utility guy, I see a situation where Oswaldo Cabrera is kind of the odd man out and doesn't really have a role on this roster. And
hell,
I think
no.
That'll be really disappointing because out of all three guys,
hell no,
the younger guys, he's the one that ultimately deserves it out of all three of them.
They had IKF in the dugout today talking about putting on catcher's gear, getting behind home plate. I don't know what the hell the Yankees are doing with IKF. Are they shopping him to potentially trade him? They had him in left field today. He was taking reps in center field. This is the apple of your eye, Brian Cashman. This guy got traded twice last offseason, and you decided he'd be your starting shortstop. So much so that you had to quit on him when he kept failing in the postseason. How do we get here? Now this guy's playing every position? Get him out of my face. And you know what? I hate to talk down on IKF because I'm not talking about him as a person. I'm more mad at the Yankees and their usage of him and them forcing him on us. What is he? Is he a good hitter? Is he a great fielder?
The way he was sold to us was a gold glove hitter that can, you know, hit 300.
He's neither. So what plus does he add? Get him out of the way. Are we serious or are we playing around?
Yeah, he scares me with the whole Cabrera thing. And I also there's no way that he could be getting more playing time than either Cabrera and DJ LeMahieu has to be an everyday player.
There are so many better players on this team than IKF. If he's taking away reps from these guys, opportunities from these guys, at-bats from these guys, when we actually get into the season where it matters, I don't know what they're doing. I can't take them seriously.
I'll be screaming my lungs out at the TV every night. Hey, quick point. It's kind of like a ESPN talking point question, but I thought it was interesting. I saw it on Twitter. Who has more pressure on them, Bronny James or Arch Manning? I'll hang up and listen.
Ooh, good question. Thanks, Rob. Who has more pressure on them right now? I'm going to go with right now. I think it's Arch Manning. I say that because he is currently in college. Bronny's still in high school. I say that because he's battling with Quinn Ewers right now, and the pressure is on him. What did I say? Quinn Ewers? I don't know how you pronounce that kid's name. It's not Ewers. It's Quinn Ewers. It's E-W-E-R-S. But he's the starting quarterback for Texas, and they've opened up a quarterback competition where Arch Manning could beat him out. So talk about pressure. You're in the competition in spring ball right now to potentially be the starter in the fall where, boom, you're on TV every Saturday playing for the Texas Longhorns. Bronny is playing in high school. High school season's over or ending, and he's going to choose a college, but he's not going to actually choose the college. There's no pressure on him. LeBron already said, I could call any college I want and they'd have Bronny. Both of these kids have $20 million in NIL deals. What a world. The pressure right now is on Arch Manning because he's in a competition to be a starter at the collegiate level. LeBron James Jr., he's not in college yet. He's in high school, and it's easy to play in high school, especially when you're a LeBron James kid. They already fear you, even though Mario Chalmers says nobody feared LeBron. What are we talking about? 877-337-6666, whatever you want to talk about. I've got another 30 minutes here. Les, keep McPherson on the fan. We got to break it down in the middle of the 1 o'clock hour. Let's do that right now, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk too. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
probably my last 20 minutes right here. Keep McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. One of those after the Nets play late nights. Salicata's coming up next, I believe. Do we have someone else filling in for Salicata? Okay. I thought Sal was back tonight. Don't do that. So Sal's coming up at 2. And I went and looked to get the pronunciation of the quarterback at Texas. His name, I don't know why I forgot. It's Quinn Ewers. What I call him? Quinn Evers? I think because it's spelled E-W-E-R. Quinn Ewers. And in this article that actually just came out yesterday, and it was edited again at 10.02 p.m. on the 21st. So it was literally edited right before I came on. An article on OutKick said that Archie Manning's role in his freshman year at Texas becomes clear as the Longhorns continue spring practice. So Steve Sarkisian is the offensive coordinator over there. In the beginning of spring ball, he left the door open for Archie Manning to come in and compete. Of course, right? There's no reason to name a starter in spring ball anyway. As high of a profile as Archie Manning has, and all of the NIL deals and companies and influence and all the other stuff, you leave that door open and say, yeah, he's going to come in and compete for the position. He's not going to compete for the starting job. He's a freshman. He left high school to get on campus early. He's a boy amongst men. Trust me when I tell you, I remember my freshman year stepping on a football field, being a boy amongst men. I thought I was something. And then you get in there with guys that like have kids and have beards and like hair on their chest. And you're like, whoa, this is a different level of football. And as I'm reading this, I was thinking about, man, I competed. There was a freshman quarterback my year when I came in. I competed with him every single day. I don't care if it was sprints. I don't care if it was just, you know, pitching the ball better, completing passes. And I was happy any day I won a day. And competing at that level is tough. Archie Manning's not going to win that job. He's probably not even going to be second string. He's going to be third string. They're saying that Quinn Ewers, who already, you know, was a starter last year, he's going to be a starter. And then there's this quarterback, Malik Murphy, who was hurt in the beginning of spring ball, but he's come back. He's a 6'5", 235-star quarterback out of Texas, or out of California, playing at Texas. They're saying he was getting second-team reps over Archie Manning after things got going. I'm telling you, once you get to college, it's a different level. So, you know, Archie Manning dominated down there in Louisiana at Newman, where Peyton played, where Eli played, where Odell Beckham Jr. played. But then you step on campus, hook 'em horns, man, everybody is good. And all of these guys can play, especially at the quarterback position, or they wouldn't be there. So the question was from the last caller before we went to break, who has more pressure on them? Is it Archie Manning or Bronny James? I'm doubling down on that after the information that I have now. The pressure is on Archie Manning, because if Archie Manning can't find a way to start in a year or two with this other kid, Malik Murphy, there, he might be hitting that transfer portal. And that's what all these kids do. If you heard me earlier in the show, I talked like I went to James Madison University and I ended up graduating from Monmouth University. I transferred and had to sit out a year. Those used to be the rules. Transferring from Division I to Division I, you got to sit a year. That sucks. I had fun. Don't get me wrong. I had a blast. I made the most of it, being a scholarship football player, not having to play. I certainly did my thing. But at the same time, it sucks to have to lose a year out of your eligibility. And then the next year, I've told this story, and I told it this week because of the fluke injury to Edwin Diaz. I broke my foot fighting with my brother at 21 going into my senior season, and wasn't right for training camp. LeBron James' kid is an All-American, and he's playing in high school. There's no pressure on him because he can choose whatever school he wants to go to. If he wants to not go to college, he can go that route as well. No pressure. You're LeBron James' kid. Your dad's still active in the NBA. There's no active Mannings in the NFL. LeBron James is literally going to birth his son into the NBA and make sure he's good. So all the pressure is on Arch Manning, not on Bronny James. But there's no pressure. Like, what is pressure for these guys? They're already rich. They're already famous. They've already made it. And they're already so connected. They're not going to fail. They're not going to lose. It's in their blood. It's in their DNA that they're going to be professional athletes.
Anywho, 877-337-6666. Out in Las Vegas? Yeah, Viva Las Vegas. Greg, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Viva Keith. What's up?
You know, just hosting the show. Happy to be here, bringing it home.
You're expecting a little baby in a couple of months, right?
Not even. In a couple of weeks. I think, honestly, my kid could be born. We're on, like, alert next week. I'm hoping it's not opening day because I just don't want to get that text like, hey,
you
got to come home.
Congratulations.
I think the first week of April, like April 3rd, any time past then, you might hear somebody filling in for me on the Fan because Keith is in labor and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, not me in labor. My wife in labor. I'm going to be in the room. You know,
she's doing all the work.
Yeah,
man.
I'm going to just be there for moral support.
Hold her hand.
I'm going to be there holding her hand and, you know, probably bugging out because I don't do well in hospitals and all that type of stuff. We took a tour of the hospital. I couldn't wait to get out of there.
I mean, I've had a couple myself, and the first one that's born, when that baby comes out, you're going to cry. It's just so emotional.
Yeah, yeah. Like, one of my homies told me, he's like, I just hit the waterworks, bro, because I saw my kid and he looked like me, and I'm like, damn. Like, I've already been thinking, like.
I remember I looked at the clock to see the exact time he was born, and I'm thinking, and then they want you to cut the cord or do whatever. You're like, I made this little person. That's amazing.
This little alien baby covered in blood.
Another Cowboy fan joining the group, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not putting that. You know, people been saying that. I think the Yankees is a obvious no brainer, but I'm not forcing the Cowboys on them. I've told my story on this station a ton. I had no guidance. I grew up without my pops.
Right.
I picked my teams off the TV. The Yankees were winning. The Cowboys were winning. The Bulls were winning. I jumped right on the bandwagon. I'm not making my kid rock with my teams, but if he's watching me and he says I want to root for the teams that you root for, Dad, of course.
Yeah, he'll probably follow you on Twitter. Hey, real quick, because I know time is short. You know, I agree with you on this world baseball stuff. You know, we've always thought that it's America's game and it's our national pastime. And you, as a Yankee fan with 27 World Series, I get it. But really, it's North America's game. And nowadays, we have more than half the league, like you said, of minorities from all over the world. You know, Japan, you know,
Far
Cuba,
East,
Venezuela.
It's
and they're
their
dominant.
Game. Even like.
So really, the World Baseball Classic is really the World Series. And they're getting to show the world, you know, a rep in their country, what we are.
Just viewership alone. Way more people watched this tournament than our World Series. Way more people saw Shohei Ohtani do what he did tonight than they saw Jeremy Peña do what he did against the Phillies.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you watch the World Series, too, it's not like the Super Bowl. It's usually fans of each team. And then you have other people watch it. But the World Baseball Classic, everybody's got their blood in them where they're from. You know? So
the World Series is very regional. It is the fans in that city, the season ticket holders, the people in that city rooting for that team, going to their ballpark. Whether you know, we just had Citizens Bank Park versus Minute Maid Park. Those are Philadelphians and Houstonians. Like,
it's a regional, right?
It's very regional. The Super Bowl is literally a world festival. Everybody descending on wherever the Super Bowl is. The World Baseball Classic. Yeah, there was a ton of Japanese fans in Miami for that final. And before that, you saw Cubans, right? They had an added police presence because the Cuban community already there. Before that, you know, Puerto Rico versus DR there.
It's kind of like the World Cup in soccer, how they go crazy.
That's what they want it to be. They want it to be every 3 years, like the World Cup is every 4 years, and they want it to be this, like, big baseball festival, and they're heading in that way. And I'm telling you, I know it sucks that we lost Edwin Diaz, Jose Altuve. And
it's part of the game. It's life happens.
It is a risk that these guys take stepping out there, and everything happens for a reason. I think that, like, all that attention that it brought, it was negative. It turned into a positive because the game took over. Those games were great after that. Yes, those games were riveting after that. And I'm telling you, there are players that are in spring training right now in their little apartments or condos.
And
they're going through the motions of spring training, and it is not lit. Yankee Stadium or George M. Steinbrenner Field, you're going to get a good crowd there every time. But like the Detroit Tigers or the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's not lit for them in spring training every time they step out there to practice or go to the field. Some of those players are thinking about, man, I kind of want to be in the World Baseball Classic.
Hey, do you know how they pick the players? Do the players submit, or do the, you know, how does that work?
I don't think the players submit. I think that they pick the players, and the players can decline or accept.
Does,
like, I think you get like an invite.
Right? And does the organization have a right to veto?
Technically not. Technically, you can't force the players
right
not to go. If a player wants to go, they're allowed to go. It's a Major League Baseball event. But like I use the Yankees for an example. I'm sure that the Yankees said to, you know, they said to Gleyber Torres, whatever, you know, yeah, we took you to arbitration for $9.5 million, bro. Go do your thing. We're probably going to trade you anyway.
Right.
Have fun. But like Luis Severino, you're in the last year of your contract. Do you want to come back here? You're in a proven year.
Right.
You have an injury history. If you go to the World Series or you go to the World Baseball Classic and you don't come back and help us get to a World Series or you get hurt or something, like they probably put it out there like it's not good. Or they just didn't even have the conversation. I think I was talking to Marco about it the other night. I think the Yankees said to certain guys, it's a no. Like Nestor Cortez. Or Nestor Cortez might have been different. I think Seve was a no. Nestor Cortez, I think they kept having conversations with him. Like, hey, Nestor, we know you were an all-star last year. We know you declared. Because Nestor was going. Nestor was on Team USA. There was a graphic out there saying that he was in. And then pitchers and catchers reported, and he reported a tweaked hamstring and that he wasn't going. And I think that was because the Yankees got in his ear, and they were like, hey, man.
We'd rather you not.
You just went to arbitration and got your first million. He just went to arbitration and came up from, I think, his like 800,000 and change to making $3 million this year after his first All-Star appearance. Do you want to build on that here? Do you want to be a Yankee? Then don't chance it and go pitch for Team USA. Nestor Cortez would have helped Team USA. He could have helped Team USA tonight.
Well, look at Nimmo. Now, he didn't go. He alleged to stay, and he still got hurt. See, it's part of playing sports.
And you know what? When I saw the Nimmo injury, I'm glad that it wasn't as bad as it looked. I believe in baseball gods.
Yeah.
I believe in karma. I believe in the universe. I'm like, no way. He talked.
And then tonight,
he talked about how he got hurt in the last one and didn't want to go. And then he even talked about seeing Edwin Diaz's injury.
Right.
And then he gets hurt in spring training, and all of the fans that said, this would have been fine if it happened in spring training. I'm like, look at what happened to Nimmo. No way. So I'm glad that he's all right. I'm glad that he's supposedly, like, they had an update today. He looks good. Like, they think he's going to be able to shut it down for this next 8 days and be able to go on opening day.
And then when Japan was celebrating tonight, they're all jumping down. I'm thinking, you could have another Diaz right there.
You can't stop these guys. It's pure emotion. Yeah. It's joy. It's excitement. Mike Trout said these are the funnest 10 days he's had in life. He didn't say just baseball. All of these players are talking about what it felt like, the environment, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's jacked up. They don't get that on a Tuesday night,
no. You
know, playing at Comerica Park.
Right. Did you see that blue pit he had in short right, and he got a double out of it? He was hustling.
Trout? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was.
This was the biggest game he's ever going to play in. They're not going to the World Series. He's locked in Anaheim. They're not even getting to the postseason. So that is I said tonight, that is the biggest game of Mike Trout's career.
Right. Yeah.
To date, and maybe ever. Maybe for the next, I don't know, if he plays with his back and some of his injuries, I think Trout is going to end up shutting it down around like 35, 36. I don't see him as a guy that's going to be playing until he's... Hey, look at all the money he's made and what he's done.
I always thought he ended up on the Yankees being a Jersey kid, you know?
Yeah, I remember seeing him. I went to see him when he first came to Yankee Stadium, I think in 2011.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I had that same dream, being a Jersey kid. I'm like, how do we not get this guy? But, you know, they were trying to get him in Philly.
He's an Eagles fan.
Yeah, he's an Eagles fan, and they were tampering a little bit. Harper was trying to get him to come to Philly, and the Angels stepped up, and they were like, here's a $4 million contract to lock you in for life.
Yeah. All right, man, I'll let you go. Great show tonight, as always, and good luck on the baby. I'll keep you guys in my prayers.
Greg, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, bro. What was I about to say after that? I don't know. Thinking out loud here. Oh, with Trout, Trout's personality as well. He's come out of his shell a little bit more. But I used to hate when they used him as the example. Oh, if Mike Trout walked into a bar, nobody would know who he is. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's disrespectful to baseball fans. You think we don't go to bars? If I'm in the bar and Mike Trout walks in, I'm like, yo, that's Mike Trout. But I do understand that. I always tell my story about Chad Green walking into Chick-fil-A. You never heard that story? I'll tell it to you quickly before they hit the back music in like 5 minutes. So the Chick-fil-A over on like 46th, let me see. I think it was a Chick-fil-A on 46th because when I was working at MTV, I walked over there. There is a Chick-fil-A that opened in like, I actually wasn't working at MTV. I was working at Fubo TV, and Fubo TV is like between like 53rd. And so where was this Chick-fil-A at, yo? Chick-fil-A is over on doody-doody-doo. Yeah, it's 675 8th Avenue, the Chick-fil-A that I went to for lunch. It was literally on my first day working at Fubo TV, and I walked down there because I didn't really know where to eat because I went from working at MTV in Times Square between like 44th and 45th. So I start walking back to Chick-fil-A, which is actually on 8th and 43rd. I'm in there, and it's a brand new spot. They got the iPad where you can order. It's packed. And I get up to the front. My order is in, and I'm waiting for my order. Behind me is Chad Green and his family, his mom and dad, his sister, and his wife. And I'm looking around, and I remember at the time the Yankees were playing the Mets Subway Series that night. And I remember looking around. I think it was August. I'm looking around in Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, yo, nobody sees Chad Green in here? I'm thinking there's going to be some cameras, some Yankee fans, nothing. So I'm sitting there with my soda waiting on my food to come out, and I ask him for a picture. Why wouldn't I? And he was flattered. He took the picture. His sister took the picture for me with my phone. I'm telling him, yo, let's go, man. Beat the Mets tonight. You know, keep doing your thing coming out of the pen. You're throwing gas. You know, love what I'm seeing out of you. Great to meet you, bro. Great to see you just on the streets in New York City with your family. And no one cared. And even walking out after I got my food, I'm like, that's Chad Green. New York Yankees. You guys don't know Chad Green? No, we don't know Chad Green. We barely know more than two or three players on the Yankees. If Mike Trout walked in there, they probably wouldn't have recognized him as well. But Mike Trout is the type of guy that I just think he hangs it up in the next 4 or 5 years because he's stuck on the Angels. They're going to keep coming up short. He's done all that he needs to do to be in the Hall of Fame. And like I said, the World Baseball Classic maybe plays again in 3 years, and 3 years will be 34, so he won't be too far out of his prime. Maybe plays again in the World Baseball Classic, and he has, you know, that big stage again. But Mike Trout, I don't see him as a guy that's going to be able to play deep in his career. I forget what the condition he has with his back, but that's not conducive of being able to, one, swing the bat like he does, two, be able to run around and dive and make, you know, leaping catches and great plays in center field. Trout is already over a decade in. Yep, Trout broke into the league at age 19. That's why I need to go ahead and press the Volpe button. He broke into the league at age 19 in 2011. And I do remember going to see him at Yankee Stadium. I think it was like Mark Trumbo was on that team. Albert Pujols was on that team. I think Trout should just hang it up soon. And quit on the Angels because they're not winning anything. And Ohtani should get out of there, too. Artie's in Nutley, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Keith. It's good to talk to you. I just want to say I'm a little late to the party on the WBC. I knew it was there, and I kind of followed it a little bit in the past. But this year, I really loved it.
Good.
I don't think it was even like I missed a baseball, you know, or anything like that. It's just, but I did want to say, I know people got down on the WBC because of injuries and whatnot. And I know it's a huge risk, but I really wish, I'm a Yankee fan, I wish that Aaron Judge was on that team. I felt like he was missing, and I felt like he would have been a perfect fit for this team. To see Aaron Judge in there, you know, represent the USA, I just thought it would have been cool. I know there's a risk to him getting hurt, and we don't want that either, but at the same time, it's like, this is the USA, you know,
yeah.
He would have been fighting for us.
As good as Trout is, he's not really a face of baseball. Judge is. When you see Judge, you know Judge. You know who Judge is. But Judge signed a $40 million a year contract with the Yankees, and I'm sure the Yankees said, nah, bro, we're going to give you a captaincy. We need you ready for spring training. We're in a drought here. We got to get ready to win a World Series, World Baseball Classic. We'd rather not see you go out there and potentially get hurt. You stayed healthy all year last year. We're trying to do that again They've got Mookie Betts in right field. They'll be fine. That's all I've got, folks. That's it. That's another KM to 2 a.m. little late night sports desk on the Fan. I'll be back with a 5-hour KM to AM at 7 p.m. Call the number, because Sal Akkad is coming up next. No one's on the line. If you want to be first to talk to Sal, dial now. And I'm sure Sal's got his thoughts and takes different from mine. Because I saw today, Sal Akkad posted the WBC stands for Worthless Baseball Classic. Come on, Sal, bro. What are you doing? That was magical. That was a movie. But you knew something would happen. Anyway, I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.